Events like this are one legacy of a movement that started half a century ago. About 200 people, many arriving on motorcycles, are gathered at a military memorial garden near Camp Lejeune. Some wear jackets that say Rolling Thunder and have sewn on patches of the iconic black and white POW MIA flag.
Members are all united in the cause to bring a full accountability for POWs and MIAs, reminding the government and the media we will not forget.
David Lynch is an Afghanistan and Iraq veteran and the chapter president.
I knew if I died in a foreign land, I would like to know that my country would try to bring me back home so my family would have closure. The problem was is we had a lot of personnel over in World War I, World War II, Korea, and in Vietnam who died in foreign lands, and the government made no attempt to bring them back.
That was the situation half a century ago at the peak of the Vietnam War. History professor Michael Allen of Northwestern University wrote a book on the movement called Until the Last Man Comes Home, POWs, MIAs, and the Unending Vietnam War.
Traditional practice prior to the Vietnam War was that casualty resolution teams did everything it could to recover the remains of American servicemen that had died. And after two or three, maybe 5 years, everyone who was still missing was just lost.
But the POW-MIA activists pressured the government to do more to account for prisoners and missing troops in Vietnam. Then families and veterans from other wars joined in.
This results in a kind of renewed effort to recover the missing from earlier conflicts, and that effort has over time become institutionalized so that it's just part of the military bureaucracy.
In 1970, a small group of activists created the National League of POW-MIA Families. For almost 40 years, the driving force behind the league has been a formidable woman named Ann Mills Griffiths, the sister of a missing naval aviator.
It's a constant battle. It really is. From a standpoint of foreign policy, defense policy, there's so many factors to figure into it.
In the early years, the League struggled for visibility, resorting to things like picketing the White House and UN. But that changed in 1981.
Reagan came along that gave it the priority, and it built from there.
As governor of California, Ronald Reagan had supported POW-MIA activists. As president, he made their issue a national priority. Mills Griffiths became the only non-governmental member of a task force that helped shape national policy on the POW-MIA issue and became a famously skilled political operator in Washington. There's now an entire Pentagon agency that spends more than $110 million a year on the effort. Before?
Nothing. There was no special agency. It was part of Army Mortuary Affairs, but there was no active organization of any kind.
While black POW-MIA flags are still seemingly everywhere, the League itself seems to be slowly fading. Once, Mills Griffiths had a staff of six. She has just one now. And Mills Griffiths herself has been retired since 2011, though she still shows up for work every day. But the League's goal, the fullest possible accounting of missing service members from the Vietnam War, which once seemed all but impossible, is now plausible.
I'm very proud of the legacy that the League will have left for the country and the people that we were able to get back so far. 1,042 since the end of the war. And we have about 1,000 to go.
Or maybe just 999. In 2011, Vietnamese fishermen snagged something, the wreckage of a jet. The one that Mills Griffith's brother, Lieutenant Commander James B. Mills, went missing in. Now some of that Pentagon machinery she helped put in place is sifting evidence recovered from the site, trying to erase the question mark beside one more name. This is Jay Price reporting.